الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولى العظيم. In this ayat, as we explained yesterday, Allah had made roza's farz upon us, and how beautifully every aspect, every phrase of this ayat has got great detail in it and great lessons for us to learn. However, we will carry on now, and we shall, Allah Ta'ala says, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, rozas have been made farad upon you. So that rozas are made farad, from here ulama have written that rozas are not made farad only of the three things, that is of eating, drinking and satisfying one's sexual desire. But roza has been made on every part of the body. From here we learn there is a great difference of keeping roza and staying hungry. It comes clearly in the Hadith Sharif, many people gain nothing from their staying hungry, but only the difficulty of staying hungry. That is, like a person who didn't eat, he went on a hunger strike. You desire for food, you desire for drink, and a person, Allah made it, you desire to satisfy your sexual desires, which Allah has made a halal and jais way to do it. So, that is what Allah Ta'ala, so staying away from that is hard on a person. But if you did not do it as an ibadat, then it was just staying hungry. And then you got nothing but the pangs of hunger, the difficulty you went through. Same way it comes that many people who make ibadat throughout the night, they get nothing from that but just being tired and losing their sleep. There are reasons for that also, why a person who made ibadat, but then, for example, in the first thing, he went and boast about it, that I stayed awake the whole night, all his sawab is gone. Now, all he's left with is his tiredness, that he stayed awake the whole night. So, it's very, very important. So, for roza to become roza, and in fact, any ibadat we do, there are certain conditions in order for that to be an ibadah. The first is, we must have knowledge of that. So roza also, it's necessary we acquire knowledge of what roza is. And then the masail also, the spiritual dimension also of roza, then the fiqhi, with regard to masail also we should know. And that is not only roza, any ibadat. Namaz also we make. In the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a person was not allowed to trade until he knew, he had knowledge about business also. How to trade, how to do business. And every aspect, the spiritual dimension, how to be kind with your customers, etc. How to treat your customers. Then also what we are reading after Zohar, our business transactions, that they must be correct also. If our money is not halal, then the very foundation is wrong. So all that our money must be halal, and it must not be contaminated also with doubtful things also. So knowledge is the first thing. Second is niyat, intention. And niyat, especially with the ibadat of Ramzan, we read in the hadith, imanan wa ihtisaban. Two conditions. Imanan, iman, to believe. That command we are fulfilling, and that we should do it with this conviction that is a command of Allah Ta'ala. And any ibadat, just try in a few days, practice it and see the great benefits a person will get. Before I go on, I was supposed to say at the beginning, what we read in Adab also of the Shaykh, and there also it was mentioned, but generally Adab, respects, etiquette, these are very important things. Two errors, two of our friends made today, so for the benefit of everyone, we say it in a general way, and that is, which is a thing which is not to be said also, not even to be thought. It's supposed to be a natural thing. This amount of adab, by nature, a person should have. That you don't cut across somebody. Whether it is your parents, don't walk past in front of them. And whether it is your ustad, whether it is your sheikh, whether it is any buzurg, any elderly person also, don't just walk past him, in front of him. Have respect. And we see we should learn, especially the people of Indonesia, particularly, they have this great respect. They won't pass like that. And if they pass, then also with asking lot of maafi if there is no other way. So, to pass in front of somebody, especially your sheikh, and just pass in front of him. And the other thing is those who know of it and they see this, they don't correct it also. They should tell the person nicely. Don't wait for the sheikh to say it. Like children, they will tell one another. Friends will tell, don't do this, don't do that. To do it like this, it's our duty to say this. And everyone should know. And then I was in the office and I was talking with one alim. And a person had to cross us and he walked past between us. So that is not right. And there was place. Easily you can go at the back. And if you just make a little sign, I want to pass, the person will give you way. So this is very important. Adab is very, very important. There is just one indication. But there are much more details. And these are common sense also. A person can easily think of this. It's not necessary that it has to be written, it has to be said. But this is the ihsan of the mashayikh. They inform us. They write it, everything. Otherwise, any person can think to walk past near, right near a person just to walk past. It's bad. It shouldn't be done. So anyway, so before I forgot, I had to mention that for the benefit of our friends and so that we can gain more in our spiritual path towards Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And also, as I mentioned, what we know, it's easier to say, like children in the house, for one to tell another one, it's much more easier to say. They're very open with one. Friends are more open like that. So even murids, they should not wait for the sheikh to say this. They should inform the person. But we have an indifferent attitude, like a don't care attitude. Therefore, these things don't come to our mind. Otherwise, we got brains, and the brains are working. But they are working not in the right things. They should be working in these things here. So anyway, so for any amal to be accepted by Allah tabaruk ta'ala, there are these conditions. One is to have knowledge of that amal. In the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a person was not allowed to do business also without having knowledge of how to do business. So everything, namaz we make, must have knowledge of namaz, otherwise you won't make your namaz correctly. And to give it the luster and beauty, we have to have the spiritual dimension of namaz also. As we are reading and hearing in Anwarus Salah, that if we do that section, how valuable the namaz becomes. So knowledge is also. Then intention. And intention consciously. We all keep roza. If you ask for who are you keeping roza? For Allah Ta'ala. But to think of it. And when we were making our niyat, we should make consciously a niyat, whether it is in the heart. So, and that should be after we have finished our sehri, we are cleaning our mouth now, the last now, make that, oh Allah, I'm keeping roza for you. You have made it faras upon me. And all whatever knowledge we got also of the philosophies of fasting and the benefits of fasting, at that time put it one side. That you have made it for us, I'm your banda, you my master. And just because you made it for us, I'm keeping. Whether I know any benefit, there is any benefit, there isn't, but it's your command. And then see, inshallah, how that one roza, how that we will advance spiritually. Because don't put our brains in there at that time. Take our brains and our reasoning and our knowledge, take it out there at that time. Just it's your command. That's why I'm doing this. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me tawfiq to spend my 40 days with my sheikh. And when I went to Sheikh Hazrat, I said, I don't know why I came. You told me I must come, I came. That's all. You my sheikh. And you told me to come, I came. And I'm spending my 40 days and I'm handing myself over to you now. For the next 40 days, I'm in your hands. You handle me as you we see fit. So this to it, namaz also we make. make all your niyat. And just before you say Allahu Akbar, Ya Allah, it's your command. I'm fulfilling your command. I'm your slave. All the philosophies of namaz, the benefits of namaz, even the fazail of namaz, the virtues of it, it's just your command, Ya Allah. I'm just fulfilling your command. So roza also like that. Imanan wa ihtisaba, and with the hope, full hope of gaining reward. A person who does any action and he hasn't got hope of reward, he doesn't get that benefit. Like one imam, he was making imamate, that committee was famous, they don't pay the imams. But he thought, well, let me go. So 1 month he worked, they didn't pay. He asked them, they say, no, end of this month we pay. Next month also, third month also, then finally he left. So then, when he left, he said, you people don't pay me, it was famous. I had doubt also. First month I had hope, but the other 2 months I made namaz also without wuzu. You people don't pay me, you repeat your namazes of 2 months now. 60 days, times 5, 300 namazes, you people repeat your namazes also. So when a person hasn't got hope of being remunerated, his work is also like that. That person steals also. A person who feels I'm not paid properly by boss, or unnecessarily when he's payday, he's going to make this deduction, he's going to make that deduction. And he's a person like that. So that person will steal also, to cover up all his money. So a person steals also. A person doesn't work properly also, that I'm not going to be paid. So why must I work properly? So a person, with Allah, you can't have this doubt, that Allah is going to make undue deductions. Allah makes undue additions. What you are not fit for, what you are not deserving, Allah gives all additions also. And Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, when He has taught us through His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, pay the worker before his sweat dries. How much won't Allah? So reward is not only in Akhirah. The actual reward, thawab, is there. But the commission Allah gives in this world already. That hayatun tayyiba. Allah gives you an enjoyable, peaceful, comfortable life in this dunya already. And Allah makes your life of dunya like Jannat already. That Jannat on its place will come, inshallah. So, imanan wa ihtisaba. Our niyat we should make. And some ibadat, niyat is faraz. Without that, the ibadat doesn't take place. If you may keep roza without niyat, not even in your heart, you got it's my Ramzan, it's a faraz roza. On any other day, you didn't make niyat of roza, then you don't get the sawab of roza. You have to make the niyat. And according to, for example, Shafi'is, wudu, if they don't make niyat, wudu doesn't take place. According to Hanafis, wudu will take place, but no sawab for that wudu. So niyat plays a very, very important part. And then the next third thing, in order for any amal to become valuable, is wujud amal. That amal must be in existence. Like for example, Muaddin gives azan, we read the dua, or we replied to azan, we read Durood Sharif, we read the dua after azan. And for that now, all the 8 doors of Jannat open for that person. Now, for that person, halat lahu shafa'ati, ay wajabat lahu shafa'ati. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's intercession becomes wajib for that person. So that person say, nah, I don't have to go for namaz. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to intercede for me. No, the wujud, the existence of the amal is necessary. That you have to do. You get the sawab for a shaheed. You get for so many amals you get. So you say, I don't have to go to jihad. Now, if jihad becomes faraz on a person, he has to go for jihad at that time. So the wujud e amal is very necessary. And also, it is only after the amal is existing, then value comes into that amal. Yes, shaitan also deceives us that, for example, you still haven't got sincerity. Make effort, I must become sincere. I make namaz whole life without sincerity, it's useless. So let me first make sincerity. And then I will, if there isn't a container, how are you going to put the contents in it? If you don't have a cup, how are you going to put water in it? How are you going to put milk in it? So first have the namaz, the wujud amal, the existence of the amal, no matter how it is, have it. Now make effort to bring sincerity in there. So this is very, very important that now that the wujud amal, the amal is many people, I don't want to give charity because show will come. Or the person is a rich person and he wants to, he says, I feel like giving a million rand, but I fear show will come. Many people write with regard to other minor amal also. We wish to do, but we fear show will come. No, do the amal. The wujud amal, the existence of the amal is absolutely essential. And when the amal is there, then you only can you fill the, when you have the container, then only can you fill the contents. And now make your insight. And Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, Pirani Pir, our great Shaykh, he says that ikhlas usually comes right at the end, towards the end. And Allah in His mercy, like that one great Shaykh who for 30 years was making Hajj. And every time when he said Labbaik, Allah should say, La Labbaik, your Labbaik is not accepted. The 30th year, he is Khadim, attendant also heard it. So he told his Shaykh that when Allah is saying your Hajj is not accepted, your Labbaik is not accepted, why are you taking all the trouble? So much of trouble. Hajj is a difficult ibadah. Going to Mecca, the crowds, going to Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, Mina, Mecca. It's not an easy. Why are you still taking the trouble? He asked him, did you also hear it? He said, yes, I also heard it. He says, I'm hearing it for the past 30 years. But besides Allah, where else can I go? My duty is to try. This is also a lesson for many of us to learn that we feel my pride is not going or my sincerity is not coming, my anger, we have to keep on trying and we got no second door. We got no choice here. We only got one Allah and we are just going to return to Him. So we just have to keep on trying. So He said, I got no other choice. On that Allah Ta'ala says, now I accept your past 30 years ibadat also. So if we keep on trying, inshallah, as we correct ourselves, Allah, as I said, is that kind being who doesn't do deductions, He does additions. Allah will credit you for the past also, which was not worth acceptance also. Allah will say, now we accept this also. So ikhlas, first, any ibadat a person does, he does it first for show in many cases. Then from show, he keeps on doing it, it becomes now adat, a habit. And from a habit now that he does it, now then the ikhlas will come. And now the reality, but so we can see from this, the wujud amal, the existence of the amal is absolutely necessary. Then the sifat will come in. So ikhlas is one. Then there are many. One was to have the knowledge of the amal that a person wants to do. He must acquire that knowledge. The second is, that the niyat, imanan wa ihtisaba, he must do. Then the wujud amal, the amal must exist. Then the sifat qabuliyat, he must work towards. Those sifat which will make his ibadat qabul, whether it's fasting, whether it is anything else. And the sifat qabuliyat, one was that knowledge also, which will make it to be accepted. And sifat qabuliyat, a few of them is like iman, that a person prerequisite for any amal is we must have iman. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with iman, and we must keep on to the extent how strong a person's iman is. To that extent, every amal of his becomes, takes on meaning, becomes valuable according to the level of iman. So iman's level, we continuously have to make effort to higher it. The more stronger it becomes, the more the value of any amal that you do becomes also. If your iman is weak, iman, we can liken it in a sense to understand this, is like a torch we have got. Flashlight, torch, and it takes 3 batteries, 3 cells, for example. You have to have 3 batteries. If you have 2 batteries fully charged, 100%, strong, but your torch won't work. You need 3, you have to have 3. One you got, which is even overcharged, but still your battery won't work. You need 3 cells, you'll have to put 3 cells. And then the other requirement is, all those 3 cells must be fully charged also. They must be strong. If they are flat batteries, you got 3, you need 3, you got 3. Or you got six batteries also, but all are flat. You take out this three, you put other three, all flat batteries. Your torch is not going to work. So just like that, iman, the quantity of iman must be also correct. That means on what things we have to have iman. Which, mashallah, after Fajr we are reading, and it's very important to listen to it attentively. And in fact, this should be just an incentive in us that after Ramzan I'm going home and I'm going to do ta'aleem of all these kitabs. Of all these ones on imaniyat, on ibadat, on muasharat, muamalat, akhlaq, that I'll go home and I'm going to study them. And as I mentioned, if we could come to that level, that we have a test also on this. At the end of Ramzan, we have a test we give exam papers. And who pass are only allowed to go home. Who don't pass must stay the whole year, they must stay here. They must study the whole year. Then we will listen with attention. Otherwise we listen just for barakat. And we get barakat also. We listen as ibadat, mashallah, so good. It's full of anwarat and light that we listen. But we don't take it into us. A person who wants to make amal will be keen to take it in. Yeah, also some people only listen so that the points we get to make in bayan, to go to make bayan, we get new points, a very dramatic point, some exciting point that we make mental note or we note it down. But for amal's sake, very few of us we do that. So for amal's sake we should do. So iman, so one is the quantity of iman must be complete. And then the quality of iman. If we got iman on all the requisites that we need, but very weak, conviction is not there. And this is that power, that conviction. Like how we know fire burns. We must know that zina burns. That zina doesn't give you pleasure. Zina burns you. How we must know this, that music will burn you. Not that music gives you pleasure. Photography, today it's become so common, any and every person is taking photos on the cell phone. They made it such a thing, and today we don't think of it as a haram also. Even in good families, children will also be playing, they'll take photos of one another. And we don't think of it as a guna also. So if we realize this photo is fire, it's not enjoyment to take that picture, but it is fire. And how many of us are keeping these pictures as what you call it on the wallpaper? Yeah, on your phone. How many in their offices? Good people that we visit, we see in their offices they got pictures in the houses, pictures of the children, of the grandchildren, etc. All this is haram. And this also we should be conscious. For example, you went to a game park and you took a photo of a lion. That is also haram. That's also an animate object. It's a living thing. You went somewhere, you saw a leopard. You took the photo of a leopard. And worst of all in this is to keep photos of Buzurganidin. This is even worse than keeping a photo of a naked woman. Because this can lead you to idol worship. That will lead you to the worst sense of lust, sexual lust. And that is nothing compared to the facade and the evil in Aqidah. And this year, and photography started, shaitan started photography in order to bring shirk in amongst the people. If we study the history of photography, where it started, and sketches which they drew those days, that was the photography to remember a person, a sketch they would make of him. And this led to idol worship. It leads to idols and then to idol worship. So all this is totally haram. So anyway, our iman level, it must be strong also. And how, like your battery, your torch, you got strong batteries. All three batteries are strong and you got full three batteries. You are working in the dark. The torch is helping you tremendously. It's shining. So if your iman torch is strong, the correct iman on all your requirements are there, and they are strong also, that conviction on death. That firm conviction that you have. And we have to come to that level of conviction that I see a haram woman, that like Maulana Asadullah Sahab, Nazim Sahab of Saharanpur said, Na dekho in surkh rukho ko zin nahar. Don't look at this, their beautiful red cheeks. No, he didn't use the word beautiful. Don't look at those red cheeks ever. Don't look at them. The lips which are red with lipstick, blush on the cheeks, etc. All, whatever it might be, whatever you like of a woman, never ever look at them. Instead of that, read, Parho, Rabbana, Qina, Azab al-Nar. Oh Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam. This is a very beautiful poem in every aspect. As far as literature, Urdu literature is concerned, it couldn't be a better poem. What a, how he compared those red cheeks with the red flames of the fire. Eh? So it's not red cheeks, it's the red flames. And that conviction must be there in your heart. That I'm not looking at this red lips and red cheeks, but I'm looking at the red flames of the fire of Jahannam. And this is exactly as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Those people who devour the wealth and the mirath, the inheritance of the orphans, when they are made trustees and they usurp it and they use it wrongly, they are not eating that money, and nobody eats money. What it means, you ate my money, it means you ate the samosas. You ate the biryani that was made with that money. The house you're living from, that haram money. All this what those people are doing, they are not eating samosas, and they're not eating bhajiyas and eating biryani and roast. And they are not living in a mansion, they are living in a firehouse. And they are eating fire. As Quran says, إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا, that they are putting the fire of Jahannam into their stomachs. Another beautiful poem of Maulana Asadullah Sahib is, what's the start of it? The meaning of it is, inshallah the words will come, the meaning of it is that are you looking for in these haram women, are you looking for the enjoyments of, are you looking for enjoyment? A person look at this haram for enjoyment. Jahannam mein dhoonte ho, jannat ki khab ka hai. Are you looking in Jahannam for the enjoyments of Jannat? In other words, in guna, are you looking for pleasure? Where can they, that convincing iman of a person must come to that level. Not only mentally that you accepted guna is guna and it's bad, but that convincing that your iman does not only remain murisi, what you have inherited, but that iman becomes convincing. That woman you are looking at, for a woman, that man she is looking and admiring at, that actually, that in that haram there is no pleasure. When a person's imani kaifiyat becomes like that, like a person knows that he looks at a horrible scene, he wants to run away from there. If there was a fire, people are falling from there and they are burning. Nobody wants to stay and see there. When he can see the haram like this, looking at haram woman, eating haram food, then we won't make jokes about drinking coke, and if it is declared haram or anything else, we won't make a joke about it. We will understand that this is that haram, and how fire, how snakes, how all other poison is going to destroy me. These haram things are going, so that convincing iman. So in all our amal, that iman must be there. Then see the value of your namaz now. See the value of your roza now. See the value of all your ibadat. So that also a person, and to make effort on that, there are a few basic things. One is zikrullah. And we will come on that subject. Make zikr as zikr is supposed to be made. Not just a customary thing, but make zikr properly. Tilawat of Quran Sharif, sohbat of the pious people, what all the etiquettes, these things will nurture that iman. And our correct, to have a quantity of our iman corrected, that we'll have to have the knowledge of iman. And then to have the conviction on that iman, that battery now must be charged. It must be fully charged. That we will get by zikrullah, sohbat-e-salihin, tilawat of Quran Sharif, etc. This will make that battery. Now make all your ibadah. So Rosa also, with that conviction, it is the faraz of Allah Ta'ala. And Imanan, Allah made it faraz. And Ihtisaba, what reward? Allah is going to give Himself in return for Rosa. Or that Allah Himself personally is going to give the reward of the Rosa and all the other great rewards. With that conviction, Rosa will become very easy for a person. A person who has to work night shift, he finds it hard. But when they tell you, this is your salary, which we pay, but you working night shift times 3, times 4. Now we say, anytime, I'm ready. And now it becomes so easy for him. So if we realize the value of this Rosa, that keeping Rosa for Allah Ta'ala, Allah says, times so much I'm going to give you. You giving up your most dear things, what you like to eat, and you are such, that all the time you need something in your mouth. You can't stay with something in your mouth, but for my sake you are giving it up. And your drink, you get thirsty, but for my sake you're not going to drink. And your sexual desires, you die for it, you're living for it to satisfy your sexual desires. You're dreaming about all your sexual lust and desires, but for my sake you gave it up. What won't the reward be by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? And Allah is ni'mal qadirin, the one who appreciates the most. Allah is shakur, the one who thanks. For what must Allah thank? What favor do we do to Allah? La tamunnu alayya islamakum. Even your Islam, you're not doing a favor to Allah. But Allah's favor is on you, you got Islam. It's not that you did it doing a favor to Allah, you keeping Rosa. Allah's favor is on you. Allah gave you tawfiq of Rosa. That the understanding of keeping Rosa, oh Allah, it's your favor. And it's only with Allah's qudrat we can keep Rosa. Otherwise it can be 12-hour Rosa or 6-hour Rosa. If Allah's help is not worth, you will not be able to keep it at all. So Allah's favor upon us is not our favor. In spite of that, Allah is shakur. And the meaning of shakur, ulama have written, الَّذِي يُعْطِي الْأَجْرَ الْجَزِيلِ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ الْقَلِيلِ. He who gives a huge reward on a small amal. Which boss can do that? You just did a small piece of job and he gives you a big reward. Allah Ta'ala is that being. And Allah has shown us that through the hadith, that any amal you do, no matter how small that amal, at the end you just read Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifun Wasalamun Alal Mursaleen Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah doesn't multiply the reward, Allah compounds it. One is you have interest and one you have compound interest. Compound interest on what the interest, what is on the interest also there is interest. You buy a house, you paid it for 5 years, you went and asked, how much is the balance now? It's more than the purchase price you're owing. What happened? You have been only paying on the interest, and your debt hasn't been touched, and the debt is growing with the interest. Now you are even owing more, and you say, I want to pay off the house. You had a good uncle, rich uncle, he had borrowed you money, or he gave you money, go pay your debt. You tell them, I want to pay it. You see that first they will take the interest money. That they will take off. Then they will take your capital loan, what you have got. That loan they will take. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't charge interest. Allah Ta'ala gives us compound reward just by reading this dua. And so much that the normal scale that will be used on the day of Qiyamah to weigh the actions of people, it will be announced that for this person who read this dua, such a small dua, on any amal you do, you just picked up a piece of paper from the masjid. You just smile with your Muslim brother. But you read this dua, Allah not multiplies, compounds the reward. That Qiyamah's day, they were another special scale will have to be ordered. A huge scale. Just see in our deen how much we can gain. So anyway, to make our amal not only valuable, but even acceptable, first is knowledge of the amal you have to have. And secondly is that our niyat must be correct. And all our intentions, and intentions also, there is no end to intentions. How many intentions we can make. And then thirdly, that the wujud-e amal, the amal must be existing. And then the sifat-e qabuliyat in the amal, of what one is, sincerity. Intention is something, sincerity is something else. It overlaps, but actually in essence, they are two separate things. You can make an intention to be unsincere also. Eh? And people do make that niyat. For example, you make niyat to please the peer, to please the people. You made a niyat, but your niyat is a wrong niyat you have made. So, insincere. You made a niyat, but of insincerity. So you have to make a niyat, and that niyat must be sincere also, only for Allah Ta'ala. And to understand, in short, inshallah, the great value of sincerity, doing any amal solely for Allah Ta'ala. Our amal, as we do them, according to our way, they are zero, if not minus. And zero plus zero equals zero. 10 zeros plus 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 equals zero. 100 zeros plus plus equals zero. But just put a one in front of its sincerity. Now you're doing it for Allah's pleasure. One and zero, 10. Another zero, 100. 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, million, 10 million. Now it's just growing all the time. So sifat-e-qabooliyat. And then with sincerity, amongst the other sifat-e-qabooliyat, is concentration, devotion, like in namaz. A zikr that we make, tilawat of Quran Sharif, in your roza, you have this consciousness, I'm keeping roza for Allah. Your eyes to guard them will be very easy. Your tongue to guard it, no matter how anger you have become, but you'll be able to control your tongue. Music you are listening, and music by nature, temptation, all these gunas, looking at a woman, Allah put this desire, that is called a desire. If you had no desire, if you are a piece of wood, or a piece of stone, then Allah shouldn't give the command also stay away. Allah's command is not for any wood and stone that don't look at woman. They got no desire. They've got life in them, but no desire to look. For us, Allah put the desire in us. For to listen to music also, it's enjoyable. But now that Allah made it haram, so now you don't listen to that music. This is the value of it. If it wasn't enjoyable to you, if you did not have any desire for it, and you did not, there is no temptation, then there is no sawab also. The more the temptation, and many people also make this big mistake, that a person who got lot of sexual desire, lust, he says, I will never make the grade, because I am totally, I'm a write-off. The amount of the lust I have got, and the amount of desire for woman I got, that person, the more desire he got, the more higher he can go by Allah Ta'ala. All he has to do, don't just use it in haram places. All totally there. Kana waqafan inda kitabillah. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, that the minute Allah's command came, sharp breaks, power breaks. Power breaks, sharp breaks they used to give. Not one but. So the desire is there. So a person does not do it for name, fame, for show. He does it only for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. So in that, the sifat-e-qabooliyat, the qualities by which amal become not only acceptable but valuable, one is sincerity. Niyat is at the beginning. Yeah, sincerity. And the more you have sincerity, the more valuable that amal becomes. Another is concentration and devotion. Any amal that you do, that in roza, you have that concentration and devotion. It's not that like in namaz, how we concentrate, but you are, especially those people who are in the shops, who are on the roads, or who are walking on the streets, who have to go to the bank, who have to go to the post office. There are ladies in most cases on the streets, women are full, and how they are dressed also. So there, your concentration of roza means that you remind yourself, I got roza. The minute somebody wants to pick an argument with you, clearly it comes in the hadith. You tell him or you remind yourself, Inni mur'un sa'imun. I'm a fasting person. I don't want to get involved in this. Somebody comes with just unnecessary talk, dunya's talk. You remind yourself, I'm fasting. I don't need this in my life. I don't need this in my roza. I'm a fasting person. So with that concentration and devotion and all other sifat-e-qabooliyat, that also you are fulfilling all the rights or hukukul ibad also. There is a thing which also generally we don't even think about. For example, we know the story of Juraij. Rahmatullah Ali, he was making nafil namaz, the masala for them also in our Shariat also. If you are making nafil namaz and your parents call you and you make out urgency in their talk, then you must respond to them, break your nafil namaz. And you respond in nafil, whether it's urgency or not, you must respond to them. If you are making faras namaz and your mother calls you, she doesn't know you're making faras namaz, she's in the kitchen, you are in your bedroom, and she calls you and you are busy making faras namaz. If she just calls you casually, you can make out just by the sound of the voice. It's not an emergency. Then you shouldn't break your faras namaz. But if she's calling you in an emergency, you have to break your faras namaz. So Juraij was making nafil. His mother called him and he thought, Ya Allah, my namaz, my mother, my namaz, my mother, who must I give preference to? So he carried on with namaz. Mother became angry upon him. So he didn't fulfill hukukul ibadiyah. He didn't have that knowledge, or the consciousness was not there. And he did not fulfill hukukul ibad, where it was necessary for him. Mother made dua, bad dua for him, cursed him, that may you see the face of a prostitute. And then it happened that the child was born of a certain prostitute woman. And she said, it's Juraij's child. The people became so angry, they came and they burned down and broke down his whole khanka, his place where he was making his ibadah, they broke it. This is what you do. You have to, you should giving a pious front, but in the meantime you're doing this. And then a court case took place. And they had to prove it, just the woman's claim was not enough. And then he took qasam and he told the child, you speak and say who is your father. A child who doesn't speak, who is just a born child still, that child spoke, and a certain shepherd, he said, that is my father. So the truth became clear, that who was the cause of it. And those people came and built his khanka with gold and silver, they wanted to build it again. So anyway, by not fulfilling hukukul ibad, that also ibadat is not maqbool by Allah Ta'ala. Many things we do, we're leaving our mother to suffer. We're leaving the family, the wife, children, we leave them. We're making big sacrifices. No, the balance is absolutely essential. Everything, it's not permissible for a wife to keep roza, nafil rozas, without the husband's consent. Now she's thinking, I'm keeping roza. And the husband is not happy, he doesn't want her to keep roza. For whatever reasons, many more reasons there are, that he doesn't want her to keep roza. But she's keeping, so she's making ibadat. Wujud amal is there. She's even got the knowledge of the amal. Her niyat is also there. And she's making the amal. But the sifat-i qabuliyat are not there. So that is necessary. You are giving 20,000 rand in charity. You are a very generous person. But no food in the house. You're doing an amal of charity. And you are giving a huge amount of money. But no food in the house. Your wife is hungry. Your children are hungry. So, hukukul ibad are also very important in every ibadat. And balance yourself. The wife also, as commonly we say, it just generally doesn't apply to everyone. Women normally make their fajr in ishraq time. They delay, and when they hear the car coming in the yard, that's the time they jump up. Already ishraq time. And then they make the zuhr in asr time. They delay. They got this habit of procrastinating. Asr in maghrib time. Maghrib in isha. Isha when the husband is in bed now. And he wants his wife now. Now they're making their namaz with lot of khushu khudu. And then they're reading how many wazifas. And they're just not finishing there. And the poor husband is just lying. When he's fast asleep, now the wife comes to the bed. No. So they also hukukul ibad. She must also consider. And the best is for a woman, one revert lady, she rises, she says that delay anything but salah. So for a woman to make salah, as soon as the time comes in, is very good. And the best is, when the men are gone to the masjid, in that time she makes a namaz. And she arranges herself everything. Men come back from namaz, it's lunch time for example. Now she's finished with her namaz, lunch is ready. Not now that she goes and make namaz now. And now she say, you don't allow me to make namaz also. Namaz so important. Allah's haq. And now you want demanding your food. Can't you make sabr for half an hour while I'm making my namaz? No, she must arrange herself. So hukukul ibad in all matters are very, very necessary. And after the sifat qabuliyat, then after that, don't boast and destroy our ibadat. A person kept rozas. He made lot of tilawat. This year he made 20 khatams. He made 10 khatams. And he goes around boasting about it. Finished, destroyed. That famous incident which we mentioned many times, that person went for 3 hajj in those days when hajj was so difficult from the village, and they used to go with all their rice and flour and everything, and then a whole village goes and see them off at the bus stop, put all the goods on top, and very few people used to go for hajj. So it was a big issue. And then go to the station. There half the village people go home, others go to, for example, Karachi. And then there now, you stay 1 month in the Musafir Khana. Now you're preparing for your Hajj, you're getting your travel documents now. You don't even know Labbaik, you don't even know any dua of Hajj. You don't even know whether Hajj is in Makkah Sharif or Medina Sharif. So much ignorance there used to be, and I don't know now also. But so much of ignorance, people don't know their Labbaik also. The person who prepared all this, when he gets to Jeddah and the customs was like Qiyamah there. And then going by camels to Makkah Sharif, and the 8 days journey. And on that they get waylaid, they get robbed by the highway robbers, the Bedouins, etc. Going to Medina, another long journey like that. 3 hajj that he made like that. And when a visitor came, he told his son or his worker, bring my zamzam of my 3rd hajj and give this visitor of mine. So what his niyat was, that I'm not a single haji, I'm not only an ordinary person, I'm a haji. And not only single haji, I'm double, not double, triple haji. And in that one sentence, he destroyed 3 haji offices. So like that, once we make the amal, whether it's roza or anything, don't destroy it with that. So, and also another thing which is common also, ihsan jatana, la tamunnu, don't ihsan jatawa. And what is that? Like for example, you spend on any person, a poor person, any person you spend, your family you spend, and you tell your family, you know that you're costing me so much. One person took his family for umrah, and there he's telling them, you know, you cost me so much. I have spent so much money on you. All this that you now make them feel, you belittle them, make them feel like a rubbish, that we did this for your wife. You tell her after 20 years, you know, 20 years I'm looking after you, I spent so much. Your 20 years of ibadat spending on your wife is a big ibadat. Seeing to her food, her house, her necessities is a big ibadat. But a small argument, you don't appreciate. I did this for you for 20 years. You tell your children, I did this for you for 30 years. I'm doing this for you. All that sawab, you're destroying that one sentence. So our ibadat, there mustn't be any of these things also. And at the end, the final thing, have a fear whether it's accepted by Allah or not. If you have that fear, pride will never come in you, because I don't know. If it's accepted, yes, on Qiyamah Day, our Shaykh Rahmatullahi had prepared one shair, one poem, that Qiyamah Day when we are successful, Allah gives you a certificate. Now finish, now you can jump, and you can jump in the air that I've become successful now. And then you can really boast also. Now when your certificate is issued, you are going to Jannah. That's the only time. Till then, nobody has got a right to boast, I made this ibadat, I did this, I did all this work of deed, I did that work of deed. Nothing, we don't know if it's accepted or not. When our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali visited us on one journey, one of his safars, and South Africa was one time such, and the world generally, not only South Africa, where Taraweeh, you wouldn't get a person even to make from Alam Tara. The person reading from Alam Tara also was reading all wrong, upside down, no tajweed, no makharij whatsoever. Like that it was generally. How many places, no Taraweeh, nothing like that. People didn't know it's the month of Ramadan. I was in Germiston, one of the ustads, old ustads, Maulana Ismail Kachwi, Maulana Ayub Kachwi's father. He encouraged the people, this may be about 50 years ago, not so long ago, 50 years. And he encouraged them to come for Juma. The man said, I don't know which day is Juma. So he said, I will come to you Jummah morning. I will tell you, you must bath and you must come for Jummah now. For Jummah people didn't know. Till today, there are people who don't know it's Ramzan now. Muslim people. But they don't know it's Ramzan also. No observance of Ramzan. Nothing. So anyway, the last point is that we must have the fear whether it's accepted, our ibadat is accepted, or it's not accepted by Allah tabaraka ta'ala. A person who has that fear, he won't get pride in him. Otherwise, pride comes into a person very easily. So for Ramzan, also imanan wa ihtisaba, we must keep our rozas. With the quality of iman and with the quality of ihtisab. And then our rozas will become valuable. Just again to explain, imanan, that firm conviction, Allah has made roza for us on me. I'm fulfilling my duty to Allah Ta'ala. And ihtisaba, Allah is going to give me the reward for it. And I 100% I'm going to get that reward. And a person who has got this yaqeen is going to get reward. See, you find these people who are laborers, who are digging trenches, who are putting electric wires, and they are at heights they are working. So high, they are building high walls, bricklayers, and the people who are giving them the bricks and who are giving them the mortar, the dagger, and they are busy working. Sometimes it's a cold day, sometimes it's a hot day, but you'll notice commonly they are whistling as they are working. They are singing as they are working. What's making them whistle and sing when they are doing so hard, menial work, so difficult work? Why? Because their eyes and their mind, end of the month I'm getting this wage of mine. And what a small wage the poor laborer gets. Compared to the person who is a director of a company, he sits in his office, air conditioned. He just signs a few papers, attends a few meetings, to a few phone calls, and what the salary he's getting. And that person is getting a small, but he's singing it away. He's whistling it away. He's so happy. So like he's got yaqeen, I'm getting my salary end of the month. I'll see to my family, I'll see to my children, I'll see to the education of my children, that happiness. So Allah is going to give us the salary. And what salary Allah is going to give for roza? The greatest salary. So a person who got this conviction in him, that yaqeen in him, that person, so imanan wa ihtisaba. Then have the amal also. Keep the rozas, even if they are weak rozas, even without all, but keep your rozas. And then work further to bring sifat qabuliyat in your rozas, in all your ibadat. And at the end again, don't destroy your ibadat. By ihsan jatana, by not fulfilling the rights of other people, don't destroy. And finally, till your maut, and till Qiyamah's day, till you don't get your certificate and you are not told you are ashabul yameen, people who are going to Jannah, till then don't have pride in you. So yes, I was speaking on this, that our Shaykh came at a time when people were not even reading from Alam Tarawih. And our Ustad, Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Sahab, Rahmatullah Alayh, Allah had chosen him, that how many Hafizas became at his hand. That now for Hafizas to find a place in a masjid is a problem. Even in another venue to find a place is a difficult thing. So many Alhamdulillah Hafizas. So our Shaykh went and visited Hafiz Abdul Rahman to compliment him on this year. And then he asked him, how many Hafizas did you make? That everyone likes to keep a list, so many Hafizas. So Hafizab said, that I will know when I go in the Qabr. In other words, what is Qabul, that is what I have done. What is not Qabul is nothing. It's Haba Mansura. It's just going to fly away, dust that flies away in the air. It is nothing, no matter outwardly the world can praise you. The way you read Taraweeh, and the way you give bayans, and the way you write kitabs, and what in this you did, that you did. But if it's not accepted by Allah, it is nothing. It is haba mansura. So to have that fear, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said, this was many years ago, if I had 100,000 rand in my pocket, I should have given it to Hafizah for this answer of his. That what reality he's got of deen, that worry that we must have, that not just that we make the amal, to make money is not so difficult. To look after the money is much more difficult. Many people, youngsters today, what big amounts they are owning. But afterwards you go and see, what have they got? Nothing, zero. Not one property they bought. Not in one investment they made. They just blew up their money. And how many times you blew it up at the cost of your health? You blew it up at the cost of your respect and honor. You landed yourself because of that money in a jail. And you are sitting in jail. You are sitting in a hospital with HIV. You are charged with rape. All because of your money. What's the use? To make the money is not that difficult. To look after that money. And to be able to digest that money. Food that we eat, one is that food that you eat, you digest it. MashaAllah, your body gets the full benefit, you healthy. One is that food that causes you indigestion. You couldn't digest it. Now you are suffering. The whole night you can't sleep. The whole day you are suffering. You're causing pain, suffering to other people also in the process because of indigestion. And usually indigestion is by overeating also. And eating the wrong food. So over earning of money also causes indigestion. And earning the wrong money also causes indigestion. So this is also important. And also to become a hafiz is not that difficult. Inshallah, you'll become hafiz in an average period of 2 to 3 years. You'll be a good hafiz. But to look after it for 50 years till you die, that is the important thing. Not that you just became a hafiz and then you went and lose it somewhere. Whether you became an alim and in your 7 cause of alim cause, you never read Quran, you never made Taraweeh. Holidays, Ramzan is holidays, we must make holiday. Or worse still, you went to college and university, where there is hardly any question of touching the Quran. And Ramzan, you are busy with exams. Where you going to even, many hafizes are those who don't read the whole year. But they, Ramzan, they make sure they read. And they look after the Quran by barakat of Ramzan. But the person who is in your college, university, exams he has to write. He has to finish this assignment. He has to finish that project. He can't touch his Quran during Ramzan also. And he forgets his Quran. And Hazrat Shaykh laments on this, that many children, the parents, were that deeni fervor, they made them hafiz. But the children, because of their negligence, they forgot the whole Quran. And the worst punishment is for that hafiz who even forgot to read Quran. He not only forgot his hips, but he can't read inside also. And it happens. Don't think it's an imaginary thing. It happens. So to look after that hips, that is more important. So all our ibadat also to make it, to keep our 30 rozas, is not that difficult. But to keep the 30 rozas intact, to make lot of money in December, for example, which is a business period for all the business people in the world. You make lot of money, but to make sure that you deposit it also. Not that you make it and then the crooks come and pick up your ready deposit. They don't give you the trouble of going till the bank also. They come and pick it up, all your cash which you made, and they come and collect it. And some crooks were such. They went to our friends in Niger and they said, we came and collect our zakat. Crooks. They say, you haven't been paid, you are paying your zakat, we came and collect it from you. So they come and collect from you, so what you earned, and they, shaitan just takes away. So shaitan is also alert in Ramzan. He's there. He's chained. But he's got his chelas. Our nafs is there. That what we earn, we just lose out. By making ghibat majlis we have. After Taraweeh, we go outside on the footpath. As beautifully said, don't join the PPC, Pavement Panchayat Club. That we go there, this hafiz read very fast, slow. That one made so many mistakes. This one is like this, this one is like that. The air cons, they put it when it's hot, they got the air cons on. And when it's cold, they put them off. They got all problems, light problem, this problem, and all whatever little we might have gained. Little we might have gained, we lose that also. So we have to be very careful. So these amal are very necessary for these conditions for any amal and for roza also. So may Allah give us tawfiq, we keep our roza, imanan wa ihtisaba. Wa akhiru da'wana.